The covenant. I am loved. I am accepted. I am cherished by my Heavenly Father through the name of Jesus. I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, so I am not my own. For I've been bought with a price. Therefore, I will not do the things that I please, but I will live to please Him, and I will obey Him completely with all of my heart, and I will seek Him diligently, and I will fill my lamp with Him, the oil of the Holy Spirit, daily, and I will seek to do His will first every day. I will seek out the lost and show the light of His love everywhere and in all I do, every day, every hour. When once a covenant has been ratified, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. The covenant, new and old, is built with promises. These promises are based on conditions, which must be fulfilled by both parties. To not fulfill these conditions is to set the covenant aside, dismissing it. And so the promises for good are rejected. And all that remains for us from this covenant is the promise of severe judgment, as we have then made ourselves enemies of the anointing, enemies of Christ. Hebrews 10:26-31. For if we go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment, and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much severer punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has regarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. By God's mercy, we come to him. When we come to him repenting from our sin, we come to him based on his mercy that comes through his grace. He then gives us salvation. To us who have received mercy, he then gives us life. He gives us his life power to live new lives. He has the look of favor toward us who come to him as servants. We who have humbled ourselves as servants and so have taken upon ourselves the purpose of serving God and not ourselves, and through his grace, his look of favor, comes to us the life power of the Holy Spirit, empowering us to live righteous lives. Let me say that grace is not the mercy of God. Rather, it is the favor of God. And it is through this favor that the power and authority of God flows to us. It is this look of favor, God's grace, that God pours His love power out to us and comes into us through our faith. And it is this power that enables us to live godly lives. God looks at us with favor. We look to Him with faith. As these two connect, we are then filled with His power, His Spirit. It's like connecting two garden hoses together. His reaches out to us from His vast supply of the fullness of His love. Our hose reaches toward Him, coming from our emptiness, love. For our love is actually an empty desire. It's a desire to be loved. That desire to be loved is our empty temple, our God-shaped vacuum. Our wanting, desiring love is our hope. It's the hope to be loved. When we humble ourselves and admit our love is not really an agape love, we then point our hope hose up to Him. This is the beauty of humility He's been waiting for. This is what looks good to Him. And He connects His favor to our faith. And He turns on the faucet and floods us with His love, His Spirit, His life. Three words for the same thing. God, out of His kind mercy, forgives us of our sin by washing us clean and casting our sin as far as the east is from the west. What God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. Are we, who have been cleansed by God, then by God's mercy, not made deserving of good? Or was Christ's sacrifice not really sufficient to make us actually worthy of God's grace? Is this His blood that flows in our very own veins not worthy to be filled with the life of the Father's Spirit? As we breathe Him in daily, our spiritual lungs oxygenate our spiritual blood with His Spirit. And this enables us to live by the power of God's Spirit. Not only is the Holy Spirit new life to us, but He also shows us, convicts us of sin, so we can repent of it. For wherever sin dwells in us, that place in our heart is unregenerate and is a place our old man of sin prompts us to corruption. The Holy Spirit then shows us, bit by bit, areas of our heart where we were unaware the enemy of our new life spirit man has a stronghold. If we will arm ourselves with faith in God's power and are willing to admit our weaknesses before God and man, we then can overwhelmingly conquer, as did David with Goliath, and also Samson the Philistines, especially Samson's last victory, where he brought the house down on himself, crucifying his own flesh, making a habitation fit for a holy God to live and reign in and from. It is this baptism by the Spirit of God, whereby, as the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin that we were unaware we were doing, that we then thank Him for showing us another area that we can, by His grace, reject living under this sin's power. Power and authority is granted to us by His favor toward us, as we commit ourselves to live holy lives subject to Him. We are crucifying our fleshly ways under this Holy Spirit baptism as we willingly drown our old man under the water of the truth of Scripture that the Holy Spirit brings to life in our hearts, minds, and deeds. This is the Holy Spirit baptism that lifts us up out of the waters of the curse of death that is in the Word of God, to a new life now empowered by the same Holy Spirit. There we are saved from the curse of death that is in the law. That is, a curse for those who don't obey the law of life. And we are made alive by the Spirit, and we then receive all of the blessings that the law promises to those who live out the requirements of the law by walking by the Spirit of power. Thereby, we are blessed by the same law. Romans 8:4. This same law that brought a curse on all those who disobey its commands? Yes, this same law, the Holy Spirit has turned into a source of blessing to us who believe by the faith that walks by the Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is more than receiving the miraculous gifts promised to those who believe. It is the power given us to overcome the deeds of the flesh by choosing to live lives empowered by the same Holy Spirit. For there is one baptism, one Spirit, one hope, all received by faith that Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, through which we are reconciled to the Father, whereby we who believe are then all made into one new man, the body of Christ, who is our head. But if we reject this putting to death of our flesh, we also reject the infilling of the Spirit. And while knowing the truth, but rejecting it, we then have no excuse for our sin. While then being without excuse, we are also without hope of escaping it, and we will receive of the severer punishment for trampling underfoot the Son of God, through whom we were sanctified, and we have then insulted the Spirit of grace, thereby rejecting the promises for good. That is the new covenant.